Welcome to another Carlin and Lloyd Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, we're doing this via telecommunications because someone's isolating at the moment.
Yes, my lovely wife has caught the dreaded COVID, and so I'm a close contact, obviously, and in isolation. I did my test yesterday and negative, and I'll do another one tomorrow and see how things pan out.
So how is Sharon?
Well, she's pretty good. She had a few mild effects yesterday, and that's why she did a test, and the test came back negative. We're still waiting for the PCR, so it could be a false negative from the RAT test, but we'll just have to wait and see.
I hope so, mate. It's a lot of people are real troopers for all this.
Well, it's one of those things. Some people seem to be impacted quite severely, but luckily Sharon's had pretty mild symptoms, so that's a good thing.
Well, looking at talking about troopers and stuff, recently Anzac Day was obviously celebrated by the Australian communities and the New Zealand communities, and of course we celebrated here with the SNFL Grand Final.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. And so you obviously brought that up the other day and you wrote a lovely story for the footy budget. But I saw that on the news briefly that they had the grand final rematch, but I wasn't aware that they did that every year. So how ignorant of me.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, your sports knowledge is such that a little thing like this isn't going to lessen your standing in the community as a sports lover.
So when did this idea first come into play, like with the SANFL, with like deciding that it would be the grand finalists would play on Anzac Day?
Well, the first time it happened was 1948, and then it kind of became regular from about 1954 onwards.
Right, and so was that a deliberate thing, obviously, from SANFL to promote Anzac Day?
Yeah, well, it was done as a bit of a fundraiser because, you know, 1948 is soon after World War II, and previous to that, you know, there was no sport played on Anzac Day for 20-odd years. Initially, after World War I, there was sports on Anzac Day to help, you know, raise the profile of the Anzacs, but it was a little bit taboo, and even to recent times, shops weren't allowed to open till after midday.
Well, I think that's still the case, actually. I was interesting when we started talking about, I was thinking about this story, and there's actually acts of parliament in different states that control what happens on Anzac Day, and most of them, as you would probably know, say that any type of sporting activity can't be played between 5 a.m. and basically 1 p.m.
Yeah, it's a strange one, but yeah, I suppose it all comes down to sort of respect for the diggers at the end of the day, and I suppose the Acts of Parliament sort of in place to support the returned soldiers and those that did sort of give their lives.
I think it is important, isn't it, that you have that time that's put aside for that remembrance. And also, there's also some things written to the Act now. If there is like, I imagine like the SANFL, but also the AFL Anzac match, is that proceeds from those games or any sporting competition to go to the RSL.
Yeah, sort of. It's a great initiative because it's sort of like combining two Australian iconic events, so to speak, Anzac Day and Aussie Rules footy.
And would you say that, I mean, I certainly am aware of the AFL Anzac Day, and I know that obviously that started in the 90s with Essendon and Collingwood, and Kevin Sheedy was a key sort of person involved in getting that off the ground. But do you think that has overshadowed the SANFL one?
Well, yeah, because at the end of the day, the AFL is a controlling body of football nowadays. It's no longer the Australian Football Council. It's actually the VFL, which is now the AFL, that controls football. So, you know, everything's in your head about, you know, the AFL. And I know I was watching the news on Channel 7 on Anzac Day, and they, they had a, you know, a big rap about the Essendon Collingwood, but there wasn't any mention at all about the SNFL game, which was a ripper. Glenelg won it with the last scoring shot of the day, won by 5 points with a goal.
And I imagine many of the Anzac games are very close games.
Yeah. Well, some of them are. Some of them are. In the SNFL, what happens is the team that lost the previous season's grand final are really sort of headhunting to win back some pride. So it's amazing how many times the losing grand finalists win the Anzac Day the next year.
Well, I imagine, isn't it, people talk about big games, and some people would argue that it shouldn't make any difference to sort of whether it's a milestone game or whether it's a special occasion, it shouldn't make any difference to the players. But it clearly does, doesn't it? You see sometimes when, like this type of game where you're commemorating something really special for our country, or it's a milestone game for a key player who's been in the club a long time, that a team can really lift.
Yeah, I think in my mind, because I remember going to Anzac Day clashes in the early 70s when North played Port and those types of games. And you know, you go into Adelaide, you see the big march, you go to the football. It was a real celebration of the day. And at the end of it, I think that Anzac Day is probably the most important date on the SNFL calendar in the minor round.
Did they have a good crowd this year, Rob?
Yeah, a little bit disappointing, but, you know, at the end of the day, the focus is no longer on it in the media the way it was in the past. So I think a lot gets lost in the Essendon versus Collingwood hype that seems to, you know, infiltrate all the media here. Even though we're South Australian, we get a lot of the news reports from the eastern states. So as a consequence, there'll be people, and I'm sure you might be one of them, that wasn't even aware of the importance of the Anzac Day game to you in the SNFL.
You're right, I wasn't. And I think it's typical, isn't it, that we have this national but international media where everyone sort of runs with the same story. I don't know. I guess there are people in the media in SA who try to push the SNFL and want to promote it and have people aware of what's going on. But you're right, I was not. I mean, I certainly saw that game had been played and the result. But I'm certainly, if I'm honest about it, I'm much more aware of the Essendon-Collingwood rivalry of Anzac Day and its history than I am of the SNFL history. And obviously, luckily, you've made me more aware of that.
Well, I mean, you only have to pick up an advertiser or look at the TV or whatever. We get saturated with everything AFL. I mean, I find it annoying when in the SNFL, the team that plays Port Adelaide or the LA Crows reserves, even if you beat them, the story always seems to be about, you know, who's done well for Port Magpies or for the LA Crows to push their chances for the AFL. After reading 100 pages about the AFL, then you get the SNFL and they want to talk about the AFL as well.
It's frustrating, isn't it? And that's the cry of lots of sports. Not, I mean, I guess back in the day, SANFL had that really big run in Adelaide and it was the main thing in our local papers. And other sports and other people would have been saying the same thing. But now, of course, SANFL are in that same position where AFL dominates. And, of course, when you pick up any sort of newspaper, that's, if you're looking at the sporting section, that's the majority of the information you see.
I'll tell you, one thing that has frustrated me a little bit recently is I've seen on social media where people are saying it's a good thing for the SNFL players to play the Adelaide Crows and play the Port Power Reserves type teams, and they talk about it as, oh, you know, this is the way of the future, blah, blah, blah. But you ask those people if they go to SNFL games and they don't, yet you get the diehards that go every week and they don't like it. So social media is helping drive a scenario where the diehards are starting to lose interest because they don't like playing. You play the Adelaide Crows, for argument's sake, in the reserves, and it's a training run for them. They treat it as a training run. They want to do this. They want to experiment with this. So, for instance, if you play an Adelaide Crows team with 18 AFL players, they're not even trying and they'll beat you. And then the following week they'll have 12 AFL players and the SNFL team will wipe them. So it's a real conundrum, the way it's sort of unwound. It's not really the best scenario for the SNFL to grow.
No, and you think think? Do you think the AFL teams are taking advantage of that competition, as you said, just for their own sort of benefits?
Yeah, they are. But I don't know what the answer is, to be honest, because at the end of the day, the old scenario was that the players were distributed with the nine SNFL clubs of the time, and there was arguments from the AFL coaches that, oh, we want this player to play here and we want them to play there. But the SNFL coaches were playing, you know, to win a premiership. So there was conflict there, and that's why they brought these teams in. Now, the other alternative is that the Crows and Power go into an AFL reserve competition. But then what happens is their lists have to increase, so they're going to pinch all the best players from the SNFL to top up. So it'll weaken our competition again. So it's really a conundrum. It's a no win for the SNFL.
Yeah, I think that the writing was on the wall as soon as the VFL really became the AFL and all of the other states contributed. It was sort of the end of those really strong independent states football associations. If you think of like WA and SAFL, for example, they were two really strong associations that provided a lot of high quality football and obviously provided a lot of players that ended up playing or going to VFL clubs. And so, you know, obviously those big competitions like that are now second tier. That's the reality.
Well, I mean, there were so many options that were tried, like State of Origin footy, a whole range of different things. In the 80s, even back to the late 70s, and South Australia and West Australia held their own. And then all of a sudden, you find this competition where they get the cream of so-called West Australia and South Australia into the Crows and the West Coast Eagles and stuff like that. But the trouble is that there's so many clubs like, you know, Footscray and St Kilda and Hawthorne and all these clubs have struggled financially and they've been propped up. But the annoying thing for me is that all those clubs, except for South Melbourne, which went to Sydney, and the Lions, which went to Brisbane, but the bulk of the 12 original VFL teams are still involved, yet the people that have supported Norwood and Sturt and Central District and these teams all their life, it's been watered down for them, but these other teams in Victoria have been propped up. And to me, that's not an AFL competition. That's an expanded VFL.
I know you have very strong thoughts on it, but let's go back to the Anzac Day football.
Yep.
Do you think that right across, well, obviously the AFL one, but the SANF one here, do you think that's actually had a positive impact on how people view Anzac Day?
Well, I think I'm very proud to call myself an Australian, and I'm very proud that Anzac Day is celebrated the way it is. It's an important thing. Obviously, with COVID-19, we've been the effects of crowds at Anzac Day memorial services, et cetera, has been non-existent in a lot of cases. But I remember, was it last year or the year before, that people stood at the end of their
They still do, and that's still up and running. Like the last couple of years, we've certainly done that, and I see on the news the other day that was still the case in many suburbs where, and the RSL actually have all of the information you can download and the playing the music, for example, and the service. You can actually stand out there and be part of the dawn service.
Yeah, at the top of your driveway. It's sort of, to me, I think when you talk about Aussie culture, the Anzac Day tradition lives on, which sort of, yeah, it gives me a lot of pride, you know, to be Australian and to be sort of, you know, being able to recognise our forefathers who fought in these wars and who sort of in many cases died. I mean, my father was in the Korean conflict in the 1950s, my grandfather was in World War II. My mother's brother was in World War I. Even my son's an officer in the Navy nowadays. So I have a very strong link to Anzac Day through the family history.
Yeah, and I know, I've been to Pioneer Park a number of occasions in Gawler for the dawn service, and it seemed that over those period of years, it was getting bigger and bigger. The crowds were growing and growing, and it seems to me that like I was sort of obviously conscious of Anzac Day growing up as a kid, but I think now it seems to be much more prominent in our mindset and the way we think about our returned soldiers, but also how we think about our impact, the impact wars had on our country and others. But I do wonder. I wonder whether the football, like in the AFL, SAFL, has had a real positive effect on that, because has it actually, especially, and I know you won't like this, but especially the AFL game, has that really helped promote Anzac Day, but also then all the things that come with our understanding of Anzac Day?
Yeah, look, it has been a very good promotional tool for Anzac Day. I have got nothing against Essendon and Collingwood playing on that day to form that tradition, which has been going since 95. I'm all for it. I'm just a little bit despondent that the SNFL traditions have been eaten up by it. I would like to see them both stand side by side.
Well, I guess they could, but as you know, you're more into the media than me, and you know that that's probably going to be a difficult battle to fight.
No, it is, but listen, we're just about out of time here, and it's been a fantastic subject to talk about. So ends another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.